1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Wallace. At state capitals around the country today, tens of thousands of protesters rallied against President Trump's actions during his first 2 weeks in office. The movement was spawned by the social media hashtag 5051, which means 50 protests, 50 states, one day. This protester in Vermont has a list of grievances.
More executive orders than we've ever seen in history. Billionaires standing up and saying there are voices when we've asked for anything but them.
Trump's immigration crackdown is already having a big impact on the nation's food industry.
Farm workers are absolutely afraid. There is just unprecedented levels of fear and anxiety and stress about being deported.
But Antonio Delaware with the United Farm Workers says despite the fear and uncertainty, they have to show up to work.
The very workers who are putting food on all of our tables sometimes struggle to afford groceries for their own family.
He said they're still scared, but
farm workers have told me, I don't know if today is the day that I'm going to encounter Border Patrol or ICE on the road, but I do know that I have to feed my kids, and I know that rent's due at the end of the month.
Stacy Lynn, CBS News.
More countries are blasting President Trump's suggestion that the U.S. take control of Gaza. Secretary of State Marco Rubio defended the president.
I think it's one people need to think about. Seriously, it was not meant as a hostile move. It was meant as a very generous move. The offer to rebuild.
The president has signed the executive order barring transgender athletes from female sports.
From now on, women's sports will be only for women.
The president, surrounded by women and girls in sports, fulfilling a campaign pledge.
With this executive order, the war on women's sports is over.
Trump also put schools receiving federal funding on notice.
If you let men take over women's sports teams or invade your locker rooms, you will be investigated for violations of Title IX and risk your federal funding. There will be no federal funding.
Linda Kenyon, CBS News, the White House.
Supporters of USAID also rallied today with the humanitarian aid agency on Trump's chopping block. Professor Matthew Kavanaugh is with Georgetown University Center for Global Health Policy.
What USAID spends its money on is buying commodities, like AIDS medicines for Africa, like buying food from American farmers and sending it around the world.
In Southern California, there are new concerns about possible flooding and mudslides in the areas devastated by the recent wildfires. Mark Pastrella is Los Angeles County's Public Works Director.
In our environment right now, risk of bodily damage, property damage, risk to lives, and risk to the environment.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. As state Republicans prepare a bill that would require local law enforcement officials to ask people in custody for proof of U.S. citizenship, Governor Tony Evers is preparing to veto it. On Monday, a spokesperson for Governor Evers referred to the legislation as not a serious proposal and said that the governor would not support it. Under the legislation, law enforcement agencies that do not comply could lose 15% of their state aid. The governor's spokesperson also said that the state should not be threatening law enforcement with budget cuts. And early voting for Wisconsin's February 18th primary election officially got underway Tuesday. Lisa Hale has more.
Voters can now cast their absentee ballots in person. Early voting for the spring primary will close on February 16th. The primary features one statewide race for superintendent, as well as various local elections, including a primary for Appleton Common Council District 11. There's also a primary race in Winnebago County for county exec. Residents can check the exact dates and locations offered for early voting in their area at myvote.wi.gov or contact your local clerk's office.
And next Thursday, February 13th, is the last day for most voters to request an absentee ballot by mail, online, email, or fax for the February 18th spring primary. In practical terms, though, that results in an unrealistic time frame for the voter to receive the ballot, complete it, and return it to their clerk by election day. Voters who still need to request an absentee ballot by mail should act immediately. Registered voters can make their requests online at myvote.wi.gov. Voters faced with tight deadlines for absentee voting by mail have the option of using in-person absentee voter process between February 4th and February 16th. Check with your local clerk to confirm the process. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Donald Trump did not campaign on stopping Meals on Wheels to homebound seniors. He did not tell you he was going to cut road safety projects or state-based homeland security initiatives. But that was always the plan. And while a judge late yesterday hit the pause button, it has been a busy 18 hours as people and agencies and businesses took in that gut punch.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of the Big High School Sports Show presented by K5 Construction on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. I am Chad Holmes, joined again by former Newman Catholic High School boys basketball coach Jeff Gress. Coming up, we will be talking about what's going on in high school basketball and hockey as we get closer and closer to the start of the playoffs. We will have a pair of guests again tonight. Our coach guest coming up at 6:25 from Stratford High School, their head boys basketball coach Kurt Schmidt. And then our student athlete guest coming up at 7:06 tonight from Wausau West, their outstanding senior boys basketball standout Griffin Lang. So that's all coming up here in the next 2 hours. Welcome back, Jeff Gress.
It's good to be here. I thought you were going to say former Bucks fan after we picked up Kyle Kuzma. I mean, that's not an NBA show.
No,
I got it.
I know.
My gears.
Go ahead. Before we start talking about what's going on in boys basketball, I have a question. We usually would do this at the end, but why not throw it at the start for once? Let's change it up.
Sounds good.
I was looking at, you know, I was getting all the stuff together, and I was looking, and there's three teams in our area that we follow, the conferences, that are undefeated right now. You got Wittenberg, Burnham in girls basketball, Bondiwell in boys basketball, and Stevens Point in hockey. How would you feel going into the playoffs undefeated?
That's a tough... to get to that point, you've got to play... you're playing consistently, and your kids got to be executing. And I would say two things have happened. Either you've stayed extremely healthy in terms of being pretty injury-free and pretty sickness-free, but if you have had teams with a significant injury, or so, you've also battled through it. So I would say I would take it because you're going in. I know you're always going in with a target on your back when you have that type of record, and everybody wants to say, "Yeah, we beat the undefeated team."
Right.
But your program and things got to be rolling. That means, you know, at that type of mark, practices are going to be great. Kids have got to be just knocking themselves out. There's got to be this high feeling of expectations, and I'd take it. I mean, it's hard to do.
Yes.
You're going to have it's high school. There's letdowns. Things happen. People don't perform. Miscues happen. It can be a change of a simple night where one person's off. It's just so simple to make that mistake. So I would take it, you know, but obviously the target's on your back.
Let's talk about boys basketball. Wisconsin Valley Conference. Marshfield undefeated in league, 8-0, 11-5 overall. Wausau West having a terrific season, 6-2 in the conference, 14-4 overall. Stevens Point and Wausau East are 4-3 in the conference. Panthers 10-7 overall. Lumberjacks 14-3. DC Evers 3-5 in the conference, 9-9 overall. Merrill 1-6 in league, 8-9 overall. Rapids still looking for that first win. 0-7 in the conference, 0-15 overall. Looking at some of the big matchups, and Friday night was a big conference night. You had Marshfield in a tight one in Marshfield, knocking off Wausau East 50-45. Brooks Hinson 18 for Marshfield. Jesse Napgezik 13 for the Lumberjacks. Also another tight one on Friday. Stevens Point down by four at halftime, came back and defeated DC Everest 48-44. Jaden Owie had 15 points for Stevens Point. Casey Studeman and Kate Felch, 11 for the Evergreens. And Wausau West continued their winning ways. They had a massive game on Thursday, non-conference, 89-30. That's you don't see West usually score 89 points, but Jackson Riley had a huge night. Out of nowhere, Jackson Riley has not come anywhere close to 31 points in the game, but he was great from beyond the three-point arc. Kargi Cooper, 15, Griffin Lang, 14, and then back-to-backs. They went to Rapids, beat the Red Raiders, 58-29, Griffin Lang, 13, Bennett Matson, 11. And then last night, Everest with a good comeback win against Mosinee. Mosinee led 41-29 at halftime, 58 points for the Evergreens in the second half. They beat Mosinee 87-80. Wausau East last night in a non-conference game beat Lakeland 82-71. Jaden Garrett, 29 points in that game. And West, another win. Good week for the Warriors, 56-47 against Rhinelander. But let's start with the conference games on Friday. Some really interesting games.
Yeah, I watched, saw a little bit of the East Marshfield game, you know, watching it on TV on Friday night. And, it was evenly matched, good battle, and then you get some inside sights when you see some of the coaches at the weekend youth tournaments. You know, you hear who's sick, because you don't know that watching it, because right. Those kids go out there and they're battling. And East had some sickness they were battling. And so, you know, it was a great game. Every time Marshfield looked like they were, Marshfield plays all these they kind of play the style they want. They slow it down this year, it seems, a little bit, when they could take off and run a lot. And you got to cater to that and overcome that and not get lost in that a little bit. And I thought every time Marshfield looked like they might get East lulled into that, East would make a run and come back. And then, something would happen. A foul that you didn't want to happen, or a turnover, and then Marshfield would keep East at bay a little bit. But it was a tight game down the stretch. It came down to a couple tough calls, and Marshfield pulled that one out and keeps that conference lead with East, still having a great season and some nice wins along the road here, too. I thought, just West just continues to go, three in a row. They should beat Lakeland. They beat Rapids, though. Rapids is a tricky team whenever I talk to a Valley coach. They're like, they got a lot of guys back. We're not quite sure why they're not getting over the hump, but we definitely don't want it to happen to us. So there's this probably nervousness, this little bit of anxiety going in those games that we've got to be at our peak performance, because they still talk about how the Rapids kids are playing hard. They're still trying to dig themselves out of that zero mark in the win column. And it's always got to be fun when I got to imagine for Thanksgiving and Christmas when you go and play coach against your brother and you win that game, that gets some talk for the year.
It's kind of turned recently because Derek was beating Nate for a while, but the last couple of years it's been Nate turning the tables.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So always good wins when those stuffs come around.
And it's also good when both teams are doing well through the season, I imagine, yes, too.
Exactly. That helps out a lot. I thought Sebastian had a quality win over at Everest to come back from down. That's not you talk about it all the time. That's not an easy place to play. Big gym, a lot of noise. They bring a pretty good crowd most of the time. So for, Everest is still not a bad week. No. Still getting their feet bound. Play Spash to within four. Turn around, get a nice win against a good Mosinee team Tuesday night. So I think a lot of good things in that this conference is still shaking up. I mean, we're starting to see a little separation now, because it's going to be harder and harder as games disappear to overcome some of these margins to get yourself back in there. But I think all these teams have a lot of strength, and they're going to have a lot of excitement. And even when you look at some of these overall records, 11-5 with Marshfield, 14-4 with West. Spash is 10-7, but still dangerous. East 14-3. I mean, those are good. And Everest is just at 500, but they're a team that can't be overlooked for the strength that's going to come around when they're completely healthy.
Exactly right. Then you have the GNC. Talk about a tight race. You got Medford 6-2, 10-8 overall. Rhinelander 6-2, 11-5 overall. Mosinee 5-2, 13-6 overall. Pines 4-4, 10-8. Then Antigo and Lakeland 3-5 in the conference. Antigo 9-9. Lakeland 7-11. Tomahawk 0-7 in conference, 4-13 overall. Mosinee got a big win, a tight win against Medford Friday night, 62-59. Again, a comeback win. Mosinee was down by 7 at halftime. Braden Reinke, boy, he's had he's a sophomore.
Yeah.
He had 28-16 again on Friday. Last night, even in that loss against Everest, 30 points. I mean, Treve Stoffel, 18-10. Nick Krause had 16 for Medford, but a huge win. Rhinelander got a good win in conference against Pines, 56-38 Friday. Lakeland beat Antigo. And actually, I was a little surprised by that one. Lakeland had been struggling a bit, but they beat Antigo 68-55. Last night, Medford had a game against Altoona. They won 56-52. But the conference games, and really, it's going to go right down to the nub.
Well, and you know, there's only so much stuff you can pick up when you're trying to watch all these games or find stuff. So I saw the Medford Mosinee one on the news. I saw the highlights, and they talked about, you know, Medford's up by this, that. I think at some point Medford may have been up to 18 to 20 points at some point, is the way the news announcer made it sound. And so for Mosinee to come back and get that win over the top team at the time, it was a big win, and it shakes it up.
It was
up
a
again.
Must win.
Yeah, because it shakes it up again, because now all those top three teams have two losses. And then Rhinelander, you know, thought a quality win versus Pines to almost get it to 20 points. That's a big win. And then, you know, for Mosinee, good comeback against Medford. Very good Medford team. And I keep forgetting that Reinke, as I'm saying that right. Okay, we'll go with Reinke. Either way, though, I've never heard of him until this season. I talked to one of the Mosinee parents, and like, yeah, he keeps putting up the numbers he is. He's not the little best-kept secret we used to have here because he came out of his office. I have the coaches and people within the program and the city knew about him, but you know, he's really showing up in the scoring part, and to hear that he's only a sophomore, that's a nice job by what he's doing.
Keep thinking to get him on the show. He's too young for us.
There's a laundry list of
right. There's so many kids we want to get on, and especially we will stick with the juniors and seniors, and mostly seniors on the program. If people are kind of wondering why somebody is on and somebody's not, and you know, it's we try to do the best we can.
And that Antigo Lakeland game did surprise me too, because Antigo has been playing well as of late and kind of coming around, looking like they might, you know, turn the corner to be a little bit more upper echelon in that conference, and Lakeland has been struggling a little bit.
Absolutely. Mira, what's south? It's like it always is. Auburndale 10-1 in the conference, 16-1 overall. Stratford 9-2, 15-2. Marathon 8-3, 11-6. Assumption and Edgar 5-6 in the conference. 6-13 for Assumption, 7-10 for Edgar. Newman 2-9 in conference, 4-13 overall. Looking at some of the action last night, was a big conference game. Night, where you had the Merrowood South going head-to-head. Auburndale was able to avenge their only loss. We talked about this last week with Coach Weinfurter, and they did the job. 69-51 against Assumption last night. JT Schlafer, 26 for the Royals. But Keegan Empey, 20, and four Auburndale players in double figures. Obviously, great balance for Auburndale.
Tough to guard. You got, again, you usually know who the one guy is you want to keep in check. And Rob is a really good point guard on Auburndale. Kid distributes well. He hits the shots. He's that floor general you want out there. So you know that's one of the kids you're going after. And then they have three more that are able to ante up some points. That's a big deal, which makes, you know, Auburndale dangerous. And I think it was a big deal. You know, Coach Weinfurter said we don't want to stub our toe. Assumption is the team we stubbed our toe against, and they pop back.
Actually,
nice
real fast. I was a little surprised. In their previous game against Amherst on Friday, they struggled. It was a tie game at halftime. They pulled away to win 51-40. And you said Blake Robb, 18 points in that game. So again, as I think what you said earlier, any night, sometimes, you know, and maybe it's going to take a little bit more to get going. Other nights, you're just going to have it.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And those are the nights where I think they learn to play as a team. So when you get that undefeated record, you're figuring all that out, or one loss in the case of Auburndale, you're able to figure it out. And those are the beauty of what makes these teams dangerous or makes a team good at the end of the day, is who steps up when somebody else can't. You got to have those components. I thought, you know, Stratford did what they were supposed to do, and they won against Edgar was that Friday?
Yeah, no, last night, 65-47, Stratford over Edgar, Spindler 20, Brusewitz 13 for Stratford.
Yeah, so that's a good win to keep that mark at 15-2, 9-2 overall, and continue the chase and the hunt of that.
And also last night, Marathon back on the winning track, defeating Newman 68-40, a game that we had right here on 98.9 WXCO. Truthers 15 points, Ian Shuda 13 for Marathon, Quincy Fender 18, Lucas Piffner 12 for the Cards. Marathon 11-6 overall, 8-3 in the conference. It feels like a down year. It's not a down year. I mean, it's still a very good year, but they've been so good recently, and yet, you know, they're just right behind Auburndale Stratford. It feels like they're further behind, but they're still right there.
Yeah, it's a good, again, like you said, a good season. They have good marks in both their conference and their non-conference games, and they continue to play well. Marathon's going to do what they always do with their tradition. You know, they have their style. They have their discipline. Same coaches. Everybody everybody knows how that program works in terms of what they're able to bring to the table when they take the court each night. And they're a team, too. We talked about it. They're going to continue to get better, even with the short amount of season we have left. And they're going to be a team, a team like you're going to say, even though it's not the top tier that they had last year, it's still a team could be difficult at playoff time.
I'm kind of curious about the two D5 teams when they get to the playoffs, because I think for both Assumption and Newman, the regular seasons have been a little bit disappointing. I think that going into the campaign with a kid like Schlafer for Assumption, and then with Quincy Fender and Lucas Pifner for the Cards, the thought is, hey, we got some really talented offensive performers, and we're going to be able to maybe pop up there and surprise. And Assumption did a surprise Auburndale, but they're playing a lot of these D4 teams. There's still, I think, potential for those two schools to make a run once the playoffs begin.
That is the beauty of being a D5 team in a conference with Division 4 teams. I think even when I coached it or what I've watched over the last couple of years, you get battle tested. So sometimes you're just trying to break even on your games. You know, we're going to go 1-1 with Auburn. We're going to go 1-1 with Marathon. But guess what? When we get out of this, we've been tested. We've been pushed. We've been played this physicality that's in the Merrillwood South with all these teams that are well coached and play their hearts out. It's just a battle. And then we're going to get into some other teams. I think there's a difference when you get into some of those other teams that are playing D5 and then their conference is strictly D5. I think it builds a different element of toughness, both mentally and physically, that you can't recreate anywhere else other than playing through that conference schedule. So I think you're in a good place when you're a D5. I mean, look at Green Bay New Lutheran and all the runs they've made over the years. They're just in a good place playing against teams that have higher level conferences or schools in their conference.
Merrillwood North, you got Rib Lake, first place, 9-2 in the conference, 12-5 overall. Phillips and Prentice, 6-5 in the conference each. Athens 3-8, Abbotsford 2-9, Shawamigan 1-10, and one of the big upsets in any of the games I think we're going to talk about here tonight was last night with Athens beating Phillips in Phillips. Athens was 2-13 going in. Phillips, second place in the conference, and Athens and Phillips had won by 30 points over Washburn. They had beat Tomahawk by 30 plus points. Look like they Athens had played on Monday, losing to Colby by 13. Again, any particular night. That one really caught my eye.
Yeah, that was a big game. I mean, it's one you don't want to not get through. And Phillips, unfortunately, took that loss, which kind of changes things. It almost takes it to the point where to catch Rip Lake now is going to be much more difficult. Yeah. Based on, look at Rib Lake. I've said this before that I've seen Abby play. Rib Lake beat Abby 70-51 on Tuesday. I think Rib Lake just took ownership. But again, that happens in the conference. We've seen coaches, players, everybody in there, they grow up playing each other throughout the youth leagues and everything. They know each other so well, and those things can happen. It can take a off shooting night I can't tell you the number of conversations where somebody's been sick. And somebody's missing it. It changes the complexity of that team and maybe brings a little bit extra to some other team. So, unfortunately for Phillips, a tough loss against Athens.
And CWC East, you got Bondewell. We said it earlier, undefeated. 18-0, 10-0 in the conference. Whitburn, 9-1, 14-2. Iola Scandinavia, third at 7-3 in the conference. Shiocton, 6-4. Menominee Nation, 4-6. Wyawega Fremont, 2-8. Amherst Emanuel, 1-9. I will say that the Age a coach number of years in a week award has to go to Whitburn, because this week they had three games. Whitburn on Thursday of last week beat Shiocton 64-62 in overtime. Then on Monday in a non-conference game, they beat Pacelli in overtime 73-71. And then last night, didn't go to overtime, but they beat Wyawega Fremont 69-68. You had Jet Rogowski with 26 on Thursday, 28 on Monday. I mean, to have a week like that, what does that say? That playing with fire is that?
Well, and to come out 3-0.
I know
you're 2-0 in the OTs. You battled the other one by 1 point. Again, just strengthens you for the run you want to make down these tight games, these adverse situations that are sometimes difficult to recreate in practice. I think go a long way, even if you don't win all those games. I think they go a long way in strengthening your program and strengthening your team for the run that you want to make as the season ends.
And finally, in the CWC North, Tigerton 6-0, Northern Lutheran and White Lake are 5-2. White Lake got a big win last night against Northland, 55-42. So Northland had a chance to kind of secure second, stay within the game of Tigerton. That's a tough loss.
It is, especially with Tigerton. I believe they were conference champs last year. And that now a little bit more to catch up. So especially when the team next year, you want to keep them at bay. But big win for White Lake.
We're going to take a quick timeout and then come back and have our coach guest for this week. Guy that what was the record against Kurt Schmidt?
I don't know, too many to count one way or the other, and it's probably not the one way I wanted. So he did a good job.
So we'll talk to Stratford boys basketball coach Kurt Schmidt coming up next here on the Big High School Sports Show, presented by K5 Construction on 98.9 WXCO. On Thursday night, it's a big one in Wisconsin Valley Conference hockey as the Wausau West Warriors play host to the DC Everest Evergreen. Hear all the exciting action live on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 6:50 and the opening faceoff at 7 p.m. Wausau West Hockey on 98.9 WXCO is brought to you by the Cloverbelt Credit Union, Red Robin Restaurants, Sun Printing, the Wausau West Athletic Department, Coast to Coast Marketing, and the Wausau West Hockey Booster Club. It's Wausau West hosting DC Everest in high school hockey Thursday night, starting with the pregame show at 6:50 and the opening faceoff at 7 on your home for Wausau West Sports, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. And welcome back, Big High School Sports Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Coming up a little later in the show at 7:06, it will be our student athlete guest for this week, Griffin Lang, the senior from the Wausau West boys basketball team. But right now it's time for our coach guest for this week from the Stratford Tigers, 15-2 overall, 9-2 in the Merriwood South. Very happy to welcome back to the program Kurt Schmidt. Coach, thanks for coming back.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Let's jump right in. 15 wins, 2 losses overall, 9-2 in the conference. Always have that that little bit of extra at the start of the season because your football team always seems to play so deep. How would you describe your season up to this point?
Well, it's been challenging, trying to deal with a lot of those types of things before January. We've talked about this pretty regularly, I think, on the show. And dealing with other little things here and there. You know, we've had a couple players out now, have been out for the rest of the season, and one just had surgery and he's out for the season. And so I've been pleased with some of the guys that have been playing a lot of JV who have had to step up and play, get more minutes at the varsity level. We've been still playing pretty well in spite of arguably losing our probably second most valuable player.
Coach, I don't know if everybody, when you know, you come watch the games, you see the kids playing, if you know, just as the spectators and stuff, I don't know if they always really understand the jigsaw puzzle that it is to put that back together, to sometimes just ask kids to step up, even though presumably you're already probably in your rotation playing your best players, and you have those expectations in a very competitive conference to hold these high standards, to finish strong, to get ready to probably see some of these same teams again in playoffs when you want to be playing your best ball. What does it take from the coaching angle to keep these guys ready to go? Like, you know, how do you guys as coaches handle this? Because, you know, until hearing you say that you've had a couple key injuries, and just from what I've watched just on paper, I wouldn't have known that. You would just think you're going through with your best guys yet, which is a credit to you, your staff, and your program, your team. So what's kind of the mentality, and how do you have to work through that? What do you have to do to keep that train rolling the right way?
Well, I was listening to the end of your guys' previous bit you were doing, and you made the smart comment. And
we appreciate right that. Comment.
No, like, I'm not meaning smart Alec. I'm talking about, you mentioned something about people don't always know when a kid, like, there's sicknesses that coaches got to deal with. There's weird stuff. Like, we had a kid sick yesterday, had to play through it. We played Edgar last night. You know, I lost a player 2 weeks ago to a surgery. And at the beginning of the year, I lost a returner through an injury from the football season. And people don't get it, that it's a jigsaw puzzle. To answer your question, it's you think it would be easy. Just for example, last night, you know, I'm juggling, you know, sometimes coaches have a numbering system, you know, that they're trying to, you know, a kid goes, hey, you're three, you're four, you're five. It just helps simplify spots. Well, whether you do a press breaker, okay, you're normally a guard, but on the press breaker, I want you a four. You know, because we have an injury. So now now we can go four out one end, but on our press breaker, we want, you know, two bigs in a certain spot, okay? So now you can adjust offensively to you're missing a four or five man, but you turn the four into a guard on a four out one in offense. But if you do any type of a two post type thing, then it's different. But anyway, but to answer your question, yesterday we were running our little end-of-the-game offense, you know, 4 minutes to go with the lead. And sure enough, I thought it was simple enough to be able to do. And we had two kids that were looking at each other because I had a different personnel grouping at the end. And they looked at each other like, I've never run the post on Wisconsin 2. Have you? No, I haven't done it either. And I'm like, as coaches, you're like, oh, darn, you know. You know, but it's that, okay, so now we got to go to a spread. We got to go to our spread offense for the final 4 minutes where it's four guards and only one post, you know. So, you know, answer your question, even blobs, you know, like baseline out of bounds plays. You're mixing and matching, whereas before you had a sub that could go in for this spot. And so it's a challenge. But fortunately, kids have done a really, really good job of adjusting and other kids stepping up really big. Last night we had our guy come off the bench for us, a junior, who didn't play last year through because of a football injury all year, Riley Spindler, who had 20 points for us. Mm-hmm. You know, he really, well, we needed a something like that because Edgar's is a very competitive team and they play hard. And you got to bring your A game when you play them.
As a coach, those are the moments that must be extra special because going into a season, you probably have an idea that Drew Brusewitz is going to come on and put up great numbers and a few of the other kids. When you have a kid that steps up, maybe because he was put into a situation because, as you said, injury and illness. As a coach, I imagine that says a lot about the process is working. That you talk about positive reinforcement, that sounds like as much as any that you could have.
Oh, absolutely, and you need unsung heroes to get through a season if you want to end up on top or pretty close on top to end the season. I look at an example when we played Auburndale. We did a very, very good job on their three top scorers. Well, their fourth scorer that kind of wasn't doing too much the previous four games, I had 18 points and drilled five threes on us, and then we barely lose the game. You know. So a kid like that, you need that. You need an unsung hero, somebody that just, okay, another team has the ability to take away a player or two or really, really cause problems. You know, other guys have to step up. You know, anytime you focus or concentrate on a player or two, it kind of puts a crack in your defense a little bit. And now if the other players that don't normally step up don't step up, then you're going to do very well if you can slow the best players down. And that's generally the rule of thumb is to make the other team play left-handed, metaphorically speaking. And when a team can play left-handed and beat you, then, hey, they tip your hat to them. You know, more power to you.
And you've been at, you know, obviously you've been at the helm for a while, and you've seen a lot of your teams come through with a lot of successes. You know, is the team you currently at, because there's still a lot of success there, and a lot of good things happening. What would be this team's, how would you define this team? What do you see that kind of stands out that's their identity, or is it still within the program?
Well, I think it's still within the program. It's you know, defense mentality. Defense has saved us. It's helped us. Early in the year, it was not good. I mean, trying to get the legs together and you know, get in shape where you're not fumbling the ball on offense out of bounds, and your rotations are a little bit slower. But even the experience, you know, I have a few young guys that play, and you can tell when guys that have played for me a full year, let's say as a junior, the next year, man, do they get things. Oh, man, they get it fast. They got it. But it takes it's not complicated. I don't want to sound like a genius. That's not what I'm trying to say. It's just reads and reactions to things. You know what I'm talking about.
Right.
You know, when something happens, how do you react to it? You know, are you able to recognize, are you able to make a quick decision? Basketball is all about quick decisions, quick reactions. And now my younger guys are really getting that down. And once you get that down, you become better defensively. Now, we lost Alec Chapel, who is a very, very good defensive player and very versatile and a very good glue guy offensively. Well, now you got to figure out ways to replace that with maybe some athletes that aren't as quick, you know, athletically, or, you know, they don't move as well, perhaps, or whatever it is. And so it creates a challenge. And I think right now the guys are doing pretty well with that.
And you're, you know, obviously you look at the standings, one game behind Auburndale, to get back to that exact dead first place spot and finish the season out the way you want with a conference championship. What do you think this team has to do, or whether it's continue to do it or something you want them to improve on and you think you can overtake that top spot?
Well, we're improving our shooting right now. It's improving, but in order to beat them at the end, in order to finish on top, you have to shoot really, really well. You can't go cold. You know, when we played Marathon the first time of the year, we shot 32%, I think, for the game. We were 11 for 26 from the free throw line. We were, I believe, 3 for 24 from the three-point line. I mean, we were, I think it was our fourth or fifth game of the year. I mean, we were stone cold, wide open looks. Well, we just played them last week. And I thought we were repeating the same thing. First half, we didn't shoot well. We had great looks. But see, to answer your question, we're short. Auburndale has a 6'7", 6'8" kid that they can afford to play around the basket a lot, because they'll put them on what they think is your worst shooter. And so then they dare you to shoot it outside. And it's hard to get good high percentage shots, because last time we played them, we shot in the 30s, barely lost, but we probably had 5-6 shots that were blocked right back into our face. And then even ones that you get off and you miss, you're still thinking about the long arms, you know, so you rush it. I mean, we had a chance at the end against Auburndale to tie the game. We had a layup and we just flat out missed a point blank layup. You know, it's going to take, you're going to have to shoot well outside, because we're not going to get a lot of easy baskets when you have that, you know, a basket protector. You know, we dealt with that with Marathon with Warren last year. You know how it is. If there's some heights and they just hover around the basket, that's why some teams sit in a 2-3 zone and they put a 6'5", 6'8" kid in the middle of it. Well, you better, if you hit shots, then they got problems. But if you don't, then you got problems.
Again, we're talking to Kurt Schmidt, head boys basketball coach at Stratford High School, here on the Big High School Sports Show on 98.9 WXCO. You touched probably on the three games that have been, to a certain extent, defining of the season, the two games against Marathon and the one against Auburndale. And hearing you talk about it, it makes me think that you probably didn't sleep very well after each of those games for different reasons. When you go 11 for 26 at the line and lose by a point to Marathon, I'm sure you're not sleeping very well. But then to come from a 12-point halftime deficit in Marathon to win by two the second time around last week. Probably didn't sleep for a different reason. What was the difference in that second half last week against Marathon that allowed you to earn a massive win to basically keep those conference title hopes alive?
Well, that's a tricky one because there was still the disbelief that that happened after the game because it was weird things that happened. I don't know if you guys saw it at all or a live stream or whatever it may have been, but you know, we were down, I think, 15 at one point in the first half. And, you know, it's one of those deals where we were able to change up some things defensively, put on some pressures, and then you're just hoping they can handle it. And they always or can't handle it, but they always usually can. And we're able to get some deflections that landed in our lap, go the other way. And then we, you know, I think we only made 5 threes the whole game. So we still didn't shoot well. We shot in the 30s still and won. So I don't know how that happened, but I think they had 22 turnovers, if I remember correctly. And so that helps. And then we made free throws in the second half when we needed to. And but we hit some big shots at the end, too. You know, we were able to clear out and try to create some double gaps so that they had to help. And then we had some shooters that we thought could hopefully hit the shot sitting in the corner to hit those, and then they hit them, and pretty soon we're up, and then we were able to take care of the ball, and we made our free throws as much as we could.
Coach, for how many years have you been coach in total? I know you started with the girls and then moved over to the boy. How many years total is this?
27 at the high school level. I was able to move up the ranks from fifth and sixth grade basketball when I student taught at Galeta Trempolo. So when I taught sixth grade, I took over their fifth and sixth grade program, and I'm telling the truth, but I'm joking that I'm mentioning that to you. I had to move up fast from fifth and sixth grade to JV my first year in Stratford, so I really moved up fast track, I tell you.
Well, so
skip middle school.
That's cool. So I asked the number because
to answer your question, it's 27.
Okay,
and total high school in Stratford.
Gotcha. And I asked the question because, you know, Chad and I debate, like, you know how the coaches can slide around. Sometimes you don't have these guys that are, or girls that are at these spots for long times. And it's kind of neat to see that relationship has been developed so strong that coach sticks around and has that school pride's there, and they know the kids and they're in the building. And it's just a big deal that it's so, you know, kind of driven with that's a good community setting for that. But my question is, how have you changed? You know, I've heard varsity coaches say, yeah, I watch a lot less game film, or I've mellowed, or whatever it is. How do you think from, you know, the Kurt Schmidt that was doing fifth, sixth grade basketball all the way to now has changed or evolved as a coach? What's different about you? Or is there? Maybe there's not.
There isn't. I'll be honest with you. It's a hard life. I'm going to be brutal honest. I'm one that I have to put a ton of time into it. And what happens is I don't have a life for 4 months. You know, you ever hear the stories of Vince Lombardi would walk into people's houses in Green Bay and not know the people and just randomly would walk into a house because he was so preoccupied, he thought he was going into his own house. And I don't mean to share that story lightly. Like my wife the other day, hey, do you want to let's go out to eat tonight? And I look at her and it's like, it's the middle of the week. I can't. I have two games this week. I can't. And then I had to stop myself. I'm like, okay, this is first priority. Okay, I can. But I'm preoccupied. I couldn't enjoy it like I wanted to. So to answer your question, and I'm being brutally honest, it's hard. It's a life that I think I see why coaches eventually, because I'm in my 50s now, and I see where they get tired, where they wear out because they feel like they miss a lot too during that time. Now it's been richly rewarding. I'm not complaining, but if you go hard all the time, eventually you're gonna run out of gas. And I hope it's not soon, but it's not easy at all. So to answer your question, what adjustments have I made? I honestly have not. I still do all my summer, camps and my skill development stuff. I still watch a lot of film. I still, a lot of preparation, a lot of preoccupation, and it's hard to relax. It's hard to enjoy the holidays. I'm not being me. You've been there, so you can understand this.
Yep.
Well, of course, that's why you have a smile on your face all the time right now. But
hey, I no parent complaints of basketball yet this year.
No, yeah. Why would you in second grade basketball? Your kids are up there in middle school now, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, so I don't mean to sound weird about this, but if there's a reason. If you have things go your way, you literally have to put the time into it. You have to. You can't just do it half and just take it easy. Well, I'll watch a little bit. I'm 50 some years old right now, so I'll get by. No, you got to know what they want to do, how they want to do it, because if you're off offensively, you got to be able to make adjustments and put your kids in the right spots to be successful. Otherwise, it's no good.
I was having a conversation with a varsity basketball coach recently who's been around a while, and talking about games, practice, and balance for the kids, because we keep getting more and more games. Used to be 20 games, not as many non-conference games, maybe more time for practice, maybe more time to have a little bit more balance during the course of the season. What do you think about where we stand in terms of games? Do you think the number of games that we have right now in high school basketball is where it should be? Are we at a point that we're getting too many? Are you finding it's more difficult to get the practice time? I just was interested, somebody who's seen the development where we've added a lot more games. Your thoughts on that?
Well, to be honest with you, I'll quote, the Dick Bennett, who would always say, I love practices, but I hate games. That's not how I feel. But why did he say that? Because you get so wound up, and there's so much to prepare for a game. You can't enjoy yourself. Whereas practice, you're with the players, you don't have the pressure. You love putting together the practice plan. You love watching them get better. You love the relaxation of the high-fiving them and asking them how their day went, all that stuff. But to answer your question, it's hard to go on an average of 2 games a week all year round, or all season, I should say. Not all year round, but all, it's hard. When I see a bye, you have that week where you're like, oh, man, we don't play Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Oh, it'd be nice to have that one. But on the flip side, it's like I do a holiday tournament. Why do I do a holiday tournament? Because if you take 2 weeks off, you get rusty really fast. And if you take a full week off, it kind of can mess a little bit with a rhythm. But as a coach, in the burnout of life, it's hard. It's like you're writing term papers twice a week. You get done with one game, you got to watch it, see what you made mistakes with so you can correct it the next day. But then you got to start watching games again for who you're going to face in 2 days. And it's just like football, you got 1 day a week. You can kind of you got weightlifting and maybe light stuff on Monday. They have their own routine. But basketball, and our girls, heck, I think they have 3 games in 5 or 6 days this week. So it's kind of like, I think it's in 5 days or whatever, but it's a grinder, man. It is a grinder. So to answer your question, it's hard to go 2 games a week all season long. And now it's not how it is. There's 1 or 2 weeks built in, but it's definitely difficult, but I get it too, because people like games. And the kids like games. Remember middle school where all you did was play games and you practiced maybe once a week?
Yes, definitely.
Kids love that. Coaches don't, but the kids love it.
And with all your time on the sidelines too, and in your coaching career, and maybe we might have asked you this before, but I'm still curious what your opinion is. What do you think about the current computer versus the old sit down and debate it out for the playoffs, especially with you guys? I'm assuming, I haven't looked at any playoff brackets yet, but I'm assuming, are you guys all still kind of together, or do you go a separate area than some of the other Merriwood teams? I mean, what do you think of the old regional meetings versus the computerized system?
I like the computerized system better because the meetings were uncomfortable because you did there would be sometimes a coach or two that would have to be going to an area where there were six or seven conference coaches, and the problem with that is if I'm in a conference of six, seven teams, let's just say, and I'm probably exaggerating a little bit to make a point, but and the one or two in there, and you vote for the ones, even though they're better, now the other guys frown at you. You're supposed to defend me. You're supposed to have my back. And you don't care about what those other two coaches think about you. You don't talk to them every day. You don't even talk to them, but maybe once a year in a seating meeting. So you don't care. Mm-hmm. So you saw some of that stuff. And then even in your own, let's say, you know, I got to decide between, you know, one of our conference. Let's just throw out Marathon and Auburndale because, you know, they're always, you know, pretty close to on top every year. And I got to pick between the two, and it's pretty even. Well, if I pick one over the other one's going to get sore at me. You know what I'm saying? And you could flip a coin on them. The computer system is, to me, it's, remember the really old days where it was predetermined?
Yeah.
You know, 20 years ago, it was predetermined before your season started. And you would face the team three times. They would be, you know, bad record, or they could be having two good teams with great records playing the first game of the regionals. And that's not a good system. That's a bad system. So I think this is kind of in the middle. There's goods, there's bads. But I wasn't a big fan of the coaches one because I just felt there was some biasness that took place, which is why we got to this, because kind of football kind of happened to football, you know, and football started kind of, they experimented with football first with the seating meeting, computerized. The computerized form of seating is what I'm trying to say. So if that answers your question, I like this because I remember one year I had to drive to Wabino for a seating meeting. What is that, 3 hours? 2.5? 3 hours? Something like that?
Yeah.
I had to drive there. I had to drive there for a seating meeting. 3 hours. Yeah, so I'm glad those days are over. So to answer your question, I do like the computer seating because it's not perfect. It's not. But you know, I'll take it. I'm okay with whatever you throw at me, as long as it's not way out of this world crazy.
And I guess for my last question, I just, you know, again, in conversations with coaches around the area, or you see people at these youth sporting events on the weekends, just tough to get a lot of times assistance, you know, that they stick around with you. They know how it works. You play off each other really well. You got different roles and personalities that are good for the kids. And I know you've had, you know, we all have had a position at one level or the other that can turn over here and there. But if you can keep a couple guys around that are really good for everything, that's a big deal. How important, you know, what props do you give to your assistants? Because you've had a handful of guys that stick around for a while with you.
Yeah, I mean, I'll start out with my middle school coaches. I've had two middle school coaches, you know, Travis Scraw and Scott Bauman, who've been doing it for at least a dozen years, if not longer.
And those guys, their kids have gone on, and they're still doing it, right?
Yeah, they're gone. Yeah, they're gone. The kids are all graduated. They do it for fun,
right?
And they know what they're doing. I love what they do. Okay, so I haven't had to worry about that in a long time, and they keep kids enjoying it. They're the types, they don't get all bent out of shape, you know, like during the game. They don't scream and holler and kick the bench or the chair and shame the kids. They don't do that. They're great. And then Derek Austin, you remember him when,
yep,
when he played, and we had some tough games with you when he played. He's been my JV2 coach for a while now. And you got to remember before that, I had Chris Fisher,
mm-hmm,
you know, who was the head coach. So you talk about propelling yourself from JV2 to having a nice dynasty going in March. he's gone. But Derek took over for him. Well, I've had Bill Kneder. Basically, he's put a second career in. I don't know if you guys remember when he's doing girls way back. You know, he coached just over, I think, 20 years with the girls. And then he's been with me probably 20, 21 years.
Wow.
So he's put a second career in just with me. You know, Hall of Famer. He's been fantastic. I can't believe he's stuck around coaching with me, to be honest with you, because he's just, you know, there's other things to do in life. And he has been a rock. He's a mastermind at developing kids, keep it simple at the JV level, but spend lots of time on fundamentals. He's a master at kind of treating it like a basketball camp. And getting, because his whole goal is to get him ready for me. And he's been unbelievable. And without him, we wouldn't have had overall pretty good competitive success that we've had over the years. And of course, I had Corey Heckel for a few years from Everest, and he was fantastic. I was lucky there. And he really helped see things from different perspectives. I was fortunate there. And then this year, I don't know if you know this, but my son Chandler is helping me this year as a varsity assistant, as his first year. Mm-hmm. So he just graduated from Winona State in teaching. He's going to actually be the head baseball coach at Medford this spring. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Head coach Kurt Schmidt of the Stratford Tigers. Anything you want to add as we finish up?
I got to say on air, though, that I appreciate all these guys that you used to work with in the Merriwood. They, at a drop of a dime, they show up. Right? It's just a text message. It's so simple. I mean, you're playing your game. I shout it out during the game, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure he'll tell me he'll be good to go tomorrow. So I appreciate that. That's another kind of one of those old school values, to show up and have a good time talking some hoops and reliving the old days.
Yeah, and I appreciate that too. But to your co-host there, I think was mentioning something about if I have something to add. You know, last night we had Zaleski Sports. The announcer was showing me the history for some reason. I go, man, you must be retired and bored. But he's showing the history of Stratford basketball way back into the 40s. And what's funny about it is the longest tenured coach that we could see on there was like 5 or 6 years.
Really?
That's it. And they had tremendous success in the 50s and about 3 conference titles in the 60s, and then it's just kind of wavered. But that's it. And I've lasted 22 years as a boys coach in Stratford. I'm proud of that. I'm proud of the opportunity. It's been great for me. And I do miss our interactions of, you know, seeing you, coaching with you, against you, whatever we want to call it. And anytime you need an interview, I'm happy to do it for you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Thank you, Coach. Really appreciate it. Best of luck the rest of the way. Very exciting time of year. And as Jeff said, we do appreciate your time. And we may well take you up on that offer very soon. So thanks again.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Head Coach Kurt Schmidt of the Stratford Tigers. Again, right there with Auburndale Marathon. We say that every year when it comes to the Merriwood Conference. We're going to take a timeout for our top of the hour, and then we're going to come back with our student-athlete guest, Griffin Lang from Wausau West. That's coming up in hour number 2 of the program here on 98.9 WXCO, the Big High School Sports Show.
Yamato, the drummers of Japan, return to the Grand Theater in Wausau with their Power of Human Strength tour. Experience the explosive energy of these talented musicians when they take the stage on Friday, March 7th. With more than 40 different taiko drums, Yamato engulfs the audience in energetic sound. Yamato, tickets at grandtheater.org.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. My savings tip for today is about meal planning. I know, you've heard of it, but let's talk about it. Meal planning will save you money, it reduces impulse purchases, it helps you not waste food, and it may be the very best thing you can do to cut back on your weekly spending. It also helps cut back the number of arguments we have in my house about what's for dinner. A writer of a recent Reader's Digest article said that she saved herself $500 a month on meal planning. I mean, we all eat differently, but those are some real savings. I know, meal planning can be a pain. So I reward myself with a treat while I plan. A beer, some ice cream, maybe a recipe magazine. And in my house, the planner does not have to be the shopper. That's real motivation. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Wallace. At state capitals around the country today, tens of thousands of protesters rallied against President Trump's actions during his first 2 weeks in office. The movement was spawned by the social media hashtag 5051, which means 50 protests, 50 states, one day. This protester in Vermont has a list of grievances.
More executive orders than we've ever seen in history. Billionaires standing up and saying they're our voices when we've asked for anything but them.
Trump's immigration crackdown is already having a big impact on the nation's food industry.
Farm workers are absolutely afraid. There is just unprecedented levels of fear and anxiety and stress about being deported.
But Antonio De La Vera with the United Farm Workers says despite the fear and uncertainty, they have to show up to work.
The very workers who are putting food on all of our